views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Today, I want to share some ideas for going off of autopilot and instead living your life on purpose. There are definitely times when doing things automatically is beneficial to us. You've probably experienced days when you're learning something new and you have to think all the time. It's absolutely exhausting. And most of us need about a week to recover when that time is finally over. So obviously, we can't be constantly thinking. Unfortunately, though, if you live in this auto space all the time, especially in really important areas of your life where it doesn't serve you, like in your relationships with others, you allow life to happen to you rather than living your life the way that you want. So today, I want to give you three ideas that you can use to live your life on purpose. And by doing so, raise your vibrational energy, attract more positive things to you, get more done, and feel more vibrant, powerful, and fulfilled. Now, let me zero in for a moment on vibrational energy. Everything in life is made up of energy, including us. What you think and how you feel influences the level you vibrate at, which in turn affects what you're attracting into your life. It actually goes even a step further than that and allows you to be there when great things come back to you. This is what the law of attraction is based on, which many people learned about from the movie The Secret, and it didn't really work for them, and it actually became quite frustrating and a real buzzword, and now they roll their eyes when they hear about it and maybe don't even believe in it. The law of attraction is not wrong. It will produce results 100% of the time when it's used properly. It's just that understanding it can be a little difficult, and even more so, living in that space or flow that you need to be in order to reap the rewards when they come back to you is very challenging. To stay at a high vibrational energy, you pretty much have to live in a place of compassion, love, faith, and gratitude. Now think about that. I mean, do you spend most of your time feeling grateful and loving and accepting of everyone and everything around you and never ever judging and absolutely convinced that you'll be looked after no matter what happens in life? Probably not. Most of us have not figured out how to do that yet on a consistent basis. So instead, we go about living life, often on autopilot, which means that we're responding based on how we feel, which is tied into our thoughts and skewed by what we believe and influenced by the environment that we've been raised in. Living life, especially on autopilot, has a way of bringing us down on a regular basis. The density around us provides this constant pull. It's like gravity multiplied by 100, meaning that we have to stay tuned in and aware if we don't want to allow our energy to drop and attract back low-level things to us. Plus, if we really want to attract beautiful and positive things, we have to practice living in that space of gratitude, faith, compassion, and love. The more we practice it, the easier it becomes. But life is still going to get in the way of it. That's just the nature of the beast. So today I want to share three tips that will help you to get started. Or if you're already consciously striving to keep your vibes up, then they're going to help you to continue on this path. The first tip is to move out of the shadow and into the light. Tune in to who you really are and then let her shine. What makes you tick? What are you passionate about? Where are you holding back? Tuning into who you really are is a huge undertaking. It truly is a lifelong process. I mean, just things like your personality, your astrological signs, numerology, communication modes, learning styles, love languages, even your palms tell something about you. Your eyes, iridology, when they study the patterns in your eyes, tell you different things. There is just so much, and you truly are unique. That's wonderful. The problem is when we talk about holding ourselves back, most of us have been trained to hide a little bit or a whole lot of who we are. Maybe you've been told you laugh too loud, you're too quick to trust other people, you're too emotional, you talk too much. Maybe it's been suggested you daydream too much and you need to spend more time focusing on getting things done. Maybe you've been given a label, like you're lazy, scattered, impulsive, you lack self-control. All of these things influence who you are and what you believe about yourself, even what we would call positive labels. You know, like she's the performer, she's the one who needs to be the center of attention. And I guess that could have a negative or positive connotation to it, but the point is this. If people say that you're the dancer in the family, you're the one who will entertain everybody, you can start to feel pressure like that's who you have to be, even when you don't feel like being that person. You could also be in a job that you don't really like, but you're there because someone else felt that that was the career for you. It's possible that you feel afraid to course correct now at this point in your life because you took schooling. It cost money. Or you've worked so very hard to climb the ladder at work and to change now just seems like such a waste. Or maybe you're afraid that if you stop, you'll be seen as a quitter, a failure. People will think you're not smart enough, strong enough, or committed enough to see things through. Becoming aware of the areas of your life that are within your control and then using this awareness to help you make positive changes is what's called conscious living. Noticing where you feel stagnant, uninspired, or held back, and then thinking about what you might do to make things just a little better can really be a great place to start. Living your life to please other people, pushing aside your real dreams and desires because you think or have been told that they are too fanciful, is stopping you from reaching your full potential. So when you consciously detect that something is amiss, don't disregard it or push it aside because it's inconvenient. Instead, notice it, journal about it, explore it fully, and see what comes to light. We're at a time in our evolution where we are all meant to awaken and to start making things happen if we aren't already. And one of the wonderful things about this is you don't have to flip everything on its head. You don't have to leave your job, leave your spouse, leave your family or anything like that. You can start making little positive changes right where you are, and the universe will guide and support you as you move in the direction of your full potential. Now, sometimes the challenge is that we aren't consciously aware of the pattern or programming that's holding us back. And that's because it's only running in the subconscious mind. And we don't know what's all in our subconscious mind. In fact, I like to think of this part of the brain as the attic or storage room. So there's all kinds of things that you've shoved in there and forgotten about. Or maybe you've stored them before you were even 7 years old, which is when most of our programming goes in. And so you're not even aware that they're there. It's possible some of the things in your subconscious mind can even be leftover challenges from past lives, so you truly don't even know about them. The problem is that the subconscious mind computer runs in the background all the time. Similar to a lot of software nowadays, your subconscious mind pulls out your favorite programs and runs them for you. You don't even know they're playing, yet they influence somewhere around 95% of your daily existence. That's a lot of your day, isn't it? So the good news is it just like making a trip to the attic, pulling out that old photo album and sitting down and flipping through it and being reminded of that day that you spent with grandma baking cookies back when you were 4 years old. You can do the same thing by shining a light in your subconscious mind. It can allow you to bring the program from the attic into your living room, or your conscious mind in this case. And then once you're aware, you can start making changes. Now, there's lots of tools that can help you make changes and help you go into your subconscious mind to retrieve things like meditation, hypnotherapy, past life regression, dream analysis, and so on. So there's lots of ways that you can do this. Sometimes even it's like the attic door kind of gets left open and something falls out. Now, in reality, what's happening is there'll be a trigger, like a smell, a sound, a song, a taste, an emotional charge, and that's what will shake the memory out. But just like the meatball on top of spaghetti, it rolls out the door. I actually recovered a repressed memory this way when I was in high school. I was spying on this boy that I liked. And I was in the library pretending to be engrossed in a book on the shelf. My heart was just pounding for fear that the boy would figure out I was watching him. And I suddenly realized that the book I had picked up off of the shelf was on sexual abuse. Now, at first, I was just super embarrassed and I just wanted to set it down and get out of there as quickly as possible. But I also had this really strong curiosity. And so something made me start flipping through this book. Within seconds, I forgot all about the boy, and I suddenly found myself remembering situations with an adult in my life when I was quite young that were inappropriate. They would qualify as abuse. Now, later, I realized that these memories were shrouded in the same heightened emotion of getting caught, which is likely what triggered this repressed memory to surface. Now, I was too young. I didn't really understand that it would be problematic to get caught, but intuitively, I kind of knew it would. And the fact that this man told me it would be our little secret only added to it. Now, the abuse had stopped years before, but that moment in the library was what suddenly brought it out of hiding. So what's great is that because I had now pulled the memory up, I could delve into it, like that photo album. I could flip through it. I could remember it. And I did that many, many times over the next several years as I worked on healing and letting go of that. Now, obviously, these kinds of retrievals are really hard to create because honestly, it's like it's not even looking for the needle in a haystack. You don't even know it's a needle you're looking for. You don't know it's there. How do you go looking for it? So unless you've already noticed a pattern or a problem that's coming up, it's going to be very hard for you to deal with it at this point. I'll come back to this story of mine later, but for now, let me share a much simpler tool that can help you to start cleaning your attic and maybe figuring out what memories you might want to pull on. So what we're going to do is I'd like you to choose a feeling that arises fairly often for you and causes problems. So it could be anything. It could be a desire to run from commitment. You know, it could be fear of abandonment, or maybe you go into panic when somebody doesn't come home. Maybe you are into avoidance and you find that you avoid things. If something's happening and you don't like it, you'll even manifest a sore throat or sickness or something so that you don't have to deal with it. Maybe you have difficulty allowing yourself to love other people and to express what you're feeling. It doesn't matter, whatever is coming up in your life. And then if you want to, and it's safe to do so, you can actually close your eyes, empty your mind, take a deep breath to get ready to do this. For some people, you might just want to have a pen and paper. You might want to have your easel and coloring pens or whatever. You might want to go for a walk. It doesn't matter how you do this. It's what works for you. Okay? So think back to the first time that you remember ever feeling the way that you've identified. So that you needed to get away from somebody, or that you wanted to avoid something, or whatever the case may be. For myself, what came up for me one of the first times I did this was that I felt like I wasn't as smart as everybody else and that I was okay with being mediocre. Okay, so I had this thing about not being that smart. And I felt that way through all of my high school. Now, when I sat down and went back with this, I realized that my kindergarten teacher had created a train. And the train was up on the wall. And when a student learned to tie their shoes, their name was written on the train car and put on the wall. And a big deal was made when this happened. Right? So this person would come up in front of the class and they would tie their shoe for the teacher. I'm not sure if we always had to do it in front of the class, but that's kind of how I remember it. So I'm going to go with that. And they would make this big deal about the person. They'd write the person's name on their train. They get to color or choose the color of the box, a car. And then the teacher would put it up on the wall with this train. And I can remember squirming about this because I wasn't able to consistently tie my shoes yet, but I was awfully close. And I didn't want to be put in the spotlight. I didn't want to go up in front of the class. I didn't want to tie my shoes like a test in front of everybody else. Right? That just felt really scary to me. And I really felt like I didn't like this. So when I sat down with the memory, I realized that I had internalized this idea that smart kids are at the front of the train. Being smart meant being put on display and being tested. Being slower meant not being singled out. And that I was okay with being slower than the other kids. Now, pulling this out of my attic as an adult allowed me to correct my faulty thinking. First of all, I very quickly realized that tying your shoes has everything to do with fine motor skills. It has nothing to do with how smart you are. So the fact that I started school at 4 years old probably had more to do with the fact I couldn't tie my shoes and that the fine motor skills weren't quite there yet than anything else. I mean, it certainly didn't make me slow or stupid. So the very first thing I was able to recognize is that I really could be in whatever section of the train I wanted to be in. Now, this is huge because when I went through high school, I felt like I wasn't as smart. And now I started to recognize that that's not the case. I just didn't want to go up in front of the class and show off that I could tie my shoes. So as I explored this further, I learned that I'm an introvert. I don't crave the spotlight. It doesn't mean that I don't like the spotlight. In fact, I'm a speaker now. I go out and I do workshops and I often can be in the spotlight, but I'm going there on my own accord. And it's because I have an important message to share that I go there. So I'm okay with doing that. As I worked even further with this, I started to recognize that I had developed a pretty intense fear of raising my hand. It created a lot of anxiety for me, because if I wasn't called on right away, I would sit there and start to feel full of self-doubt and wish that I hadn't raised my hand. And what if I was wrong? And so on. And so the point that I'm making here is that this little exercise alone completely changed the student that I was when I went to university, because it was in between that that I discovered this and recognized that I'm not dumb or even slower. I can do anything I put my mind to. I can be at any spot on that train that I want to be at. And so when you start to understand yourself better and change some of the patterns or beliefs, it can really open the door for a lot of beautiful things to come through. So commit to finding and revealing the real you. I guarantee you she is wonderful and worth exploring, and you can do this for your whole lifetime and you'll never learn everything there is to know about her. She's pretty intense. Tip number two, open yourself up to receive. Gifts, compliments, love, healing, a helping hand, receive. This sounds like such a simple thing to do, and yet it's not. Most of us have been taught that to need something from someone else makes you weak, or immodest, or it sets you up to owe them, you know, that principle of obligation. We don't like being indebted to others. This stops us from being a true team member and collaborating effectively with others. Plus, it robs us of the pleasure that receiving can bring. It's also really common for people to feel guilty about receiving. especially if they feel like other people aren't receiving when they are, you know, like their good fortune is somehow hurting someone else. And you know, this is often something, it'll be tied back to vows of poverty and stuff that you've taken in past lives. So it really is very deep in your DNA versus something that you've created yourself. So the ability to receive is actually tied to the divine feminine. And we're going to talk about this more in future shows. But for now, let me just say that if you struggle with receiving, you can end up blocking everything you've ever desired from coming your way. Receiving and the pleasure it brings are two key pieces to filling up your tank. So it's really important that you learn how to open up to it. So what I like to ask people to do, if they're having any trouble at all with receiving, then I ask them to tune in to what they do or say when someone gives them something. And it's usually easiest if you start with a simple compliment or praise. So just really notice your response when someone gives you a compliment or praises you. And notice if you deflect it, correct it, deny it, you know, reciprocate it, minimize it, reject it. There's all kinds of things that you might do. My point is this. If you do anything other than just say, "Thank you, it's wonderful to hear you say that," and really mean it, you're having trouble receiving. So for example, quickly, if I said to you, you know, let's say you just chaired a meeting. I came out of the meeting and I said, "I just want to say that you did a really awesome job at that meeting." Notice how you might respond. Would you deflect it? "Oh, it was okay, but, you know, let's talk about this new system." Would you correct it? "Well, it was the team. It wasn't just me." Maybe you deny it. "Actually, I had little to do with it. Bridget looked after the food, and we all know good food makes for a good meeting." Would we go into reciprocating? "You know, thanks for coming. It's people like you who participate fully in the meeting that make it really work." Would you minimize it? "Ah, it was nothing. It's amazing how much software can help you with something like this," when in fact, actually, you worked on it for like 2 weeks, right? Or maybe you would out and out reject it. "Well, thanks, but I actually really messed up when I forgot to introduce Tom." If you're honest with yourself, you'll likely find that receiving a compliment can be quite a challenge. If so, that's where you want to start. So instead of falling into any of these kind of patterns, or maybe you have your own special one, consciously absorb the moment. Receive what they have given you. So you feel the compliment. Take it in. Smile. And respond with something like, "Thank you. It feels really great to hear that." When you got that down, don't stop there. You can move on to receiving other things, gifts, helping hands, loving gestures. It all takes work. It is an ongoing process. But keep at it. And you know what? For vibrational bonus points, don't forget to express gratitude for everything that you receive, because that will work in your favor like a double whammy. So tip number three is to practice forgiving. Every situation you encounter in life is meant to help you evolve as a soul. This can be a really hard pill to swallow if you've been abused, abandoned, traumatized, tortured, or experienced other things in life that feel very personal and hurtful. So I say this with much compassion and love. Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. Forgiveness allows you to take back the energy you are investing in being mad, hurt, ashamed, disgusted, or revengeful, and to instead surround yourself with the positive energy of compassion and understanding. You see, as long as you refuse to forgive someone, even yourself, you make it impossible for that relationship to evolve. When it's someone else, you're actually giving them space, rent-free in your head. And when it's you that you refuse to forgive, you stop yourself from healing and ever truly loving yourself. When I first recovered the memory that I had been sexually abused by an adult that I loved dearly, I blamed myself. Why didn't I know it was wrong? Why didn't I tell him to stop? And what had I done that had led him to believe I was interested? This made me feel bad, wrong, faulty, dirty, broken, unlovable. And for many years, this feeling stuck with me. The few people I told about it got very angry with this man, which only made me feel worse because deep down I believed that I had caused it. Now, I didn't tell them that, but it hurt me. Now, it wasn't until I figured out that it was me I had to forgive before I could move on in life that I was able to release it. And this was more than just saying, I forgive you. Let me tell you, you can't fool yourself in that department. For me, I ended up going into a meditation, finding little Debbie from that time, taking her on my knee, hugging her, and letting her know that it was okay that she had manifested this experience. I told her that we were stronger, smarter, and better able to live our life fully because of it. And I thanked her. We cried together as she expressed her fear. And then we actually, in my mind's eye, danced through a whole array of emotions as they surfaced and released. Once that was done, we shifted our focus to seeing all the benefits that had come from this experience. And then we sent love, forgiveness, and gratitude to the perpetrator, along with, and this is important, all the adults who, if they had known, would have wanted to protect me. This released the emotional hold of the memory so completely that I often forget it ever happened. So when you feel like you've been wronged or done something wrong, you carry that energy with you in your heart. As a result, you push yourself harder. You're less trustful of your own guidance. You create impossible and inflexible standards for yourself, and you lower your vibrational energy. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to think about one thing you might be refusing to forgive yourself or someone else for. It doesn't really matter what it is. All that matters is that you bring it out of the attic and into your awareness so you can recognize how it is stealing power from you. When you're able to forgive and learn to appreciate how that situation helped you become who you are today, everything changes. The ability to forgive will help you plug a drain that is stealing your vibrancy and stopping you from fully owning your power. I know it feels like you're flexing your power muscles by refusing to forgive, but as counterintuitive as it seems, the exact opposite is actually true. So by tuning into where you're disconnected from yourself and becoming aware of programs that are holding you back, you open the door to all kinds of good things to come your way. By opening yourself up to receive those good things, you increase your vibrancy and refill your pleasure tank. By remembering to forgive both yourself and others when things don't go as you might have liked, you're benefiting from the lessons and plugging a drain that would otherwise put you back in your shadow. You're also reminding your ego that winning doesn't always look the way you might have imagined. These three practices will help you go off autopilot and raise your vibrational energy, which means you will be there when your vibes attract great things back to you. And because you are open to receiving it, they'll raise even higher. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.